All right, good evening. I was just sitting down, actually for the last hour or so I've been thinking, what should I talk about tonight? What is something that I personally need to talk through and communicate with the world so that more people know about it and so that I honestly can continue to just refine, define exactly what it is that I'm trying to create in my life. And there was a number of different things that came up. I had some great conversations today with people that are jumping into the inner circle. Some people that are asking questions about the inner circle, the Extremely Conscious Man inner circle, that is. Some people that were asking questions about the retreat slash experience that we're doing in April and how it's connected to the inner circle and all of that stuff. And I'll elaborate on that over the coming days here as well, because of course I'm doing these every single day. Partially because, like I say, I want to just be able to talk through all this stuff and be able to share the message. But also, it just helps me refine things as I'm continuing to build out exactly, you know, the framework of how this inner circle will be executed and delivered and co-created as we go. And one of the things that was top of mind, and I was thinking I should talk about this tonight, is the 12 pillars of wealth. So this is a framework that I've created that basically, I'm going to read it right from how I described it on the website here, because I put a lot of time into trying to articulate and define exactly what this means. So here's what I wrote. The 12 pillars of wealth represents a framework for living a life of meaning, purpose, and ultimate fulfillment. And the truth is, each of these pillars are connected, which is why it's important to understand the season that you're in, the micro actions that you're taking, and fully commit to building habits and eventual ways of being that will allow you to expand time and truly have it all. And these 12 pillars that I've defined have been an evolution over time, because when I first started diving into personal development work, I guess you would say, back in like 2013, 2014, I wasn't looking for it. I didn't really knew it existed. I was enrolled into something, a transformational leadership program that I thought was a business acceleration weekend that turned out to be a deep dive into self-love and childhood trauma and learning to appreciate everything that happens in life and be of service and, you know, ultimately, like, how do we find happiness and inner peace? And then it's evolved from there. There's been many, many iterations. There's been many deep dives into different things. I did a weekend with my wife, with Sharmila, at Dr. Nima Ramani's overview method, which was also a big unlock for me. There's still things from that weekend that I can think of that are foundational to how I choose to show up right now and even how I choose to be of service to others. One of those things being my mess is my message. So at that time, I was desiring to create true impact because I was transitioning out of just making money by selling information through courses and whatnot, which I had done very successfully, but I was starting to just feel disconnected from it because I didn't feel like I was really creating impact, mostly because of the data and the stats that was telling me that, you know, even if people were giving me feedback saying like, wow, this course is incredible, like 9% of them were actually doing it. And there was just part of me that was just kind of like, I know this is bringing in good money and it's paying the bills and it's helping me grow, but am I really helping change people's lives? Am I helping people transform their lives, like going as far as that? And the answer was a hard no. So I pivoted everything with my business, and doing that weekend with Nima was huge, partially just because of that, right? Knowing that my story and my journey, if I was to share it out loud, would actually connect me with people on a level that I'd never been able to do before. Because there would be a level of trust in people seeing the authenticity of how I communicate. And then it's just been a slow progression from there, right? Even in the way that I talk on these live streams right here, I realize, and I actually forget this all the time, but I realize that just being able to flip on the live and start talking without a script and just kind of roll with the punches, this is a learned skill. Like, this is something that I've had to do over and over and over and over and over and over. Like, I'm talking hundreds, if not thousands of times now. It's definitely thousands of times. In fact, I got a note from Zoom the other day saying that they're going to finally start charging me for my cloud storage because I had 10 terabytes of data storage for Zoom meeting recordings, which one is incredible that I was able to actually rack up that much data in Zoom recordings, and two, a reminder of how much I was glued to this damn computer for the better part of, God, like, when was I starting to use Zoom? Like 3, 4 years ago type thing? Like, I posted a screenshot of it on a friend's post on Facebook because he said, like, oh, looks like Zoom finally caught me. And then a whole bunch of people jumped in and said, oh, yeah, me too. They're sending out these warnings now, and you're going to lose all your recordings unless you go delete things and blah, blah, blah. So people are putting screenshots up saying, like, me too. I think I beat you. I think I beat you. And then I put mine up, and everybody was just like, what in the hell? Like, that is a lot of meeting time. But again, it was just a reminder of like how much things have changed now. Like, I don't remember the last time I had more than one, maybe two meetings in a day on a Zoom call. And it's a completely different focus around the calls that I'm doing now. I'm not doing sales calls. I'm not, just taking any kind of connection call that comes my way now. Like, I'm very selective on where I spend my time and how much time I spend with myself and with my journaling and working on my stuff. And one of those things is this 12 Pillars of Life, which it's an adaptation of the 12, I don't even know how Lifebook calls it, but Mindvalley has a program called Lifebook. It wasn't actually Mindvalley before. It was just Lifebook, and then Mindvalley acquired it. But they had these 12 dimensions or 12, main areas of life that they defined. And I went through it and I did the work, and there was prompt questions, and there was kind of like four different pillars underneath each one of these areas. And it was extremely helpful. Like, it was extremely helpful for me to just define my purpose, my ways of being. Like, who do I need to become in order to create true fulfillment and accelerate in each one of those areas of life, whether it be finances, relationships, quality of life was another one that they had. I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, but I just remember going through that and thinking, there's about nine of these where they just feel like they're foundational, and then why would anybody change them, right? Like the relationships and family one, right? Or romantic relationship or business, that type of thing. But there was a few where I was thinking, like, this feels a little loose. I'm not sure exactly how this fits in there. And I'm not questioning the methodology of what they've created, because ultimately I did it. I found value in it. And that's the whole point, right? There's no right or wrong way with any of this stuff. There's just a way. And then you choose how much you're going to lean into it. And the more you lean into it, and the more that you track your progress in a certain area as you're trying to work towards some particular way of being or state of being or, some kind of physical reality around you that says, like, yeah, I've really made it. We just kind of aimlessly go at life otherwise, right? If you don't have some kind of guidance as to where you're going. And then what I've learned to be true in the last year, of course, too, is to let a lot of that go and to understand that this is a moving thing. Like, it is fluid. There is intersecting lines between all of these things. And you can't just define one particular thing and say, go and kill it in this area and everything else will thrive. It's like, no, you got to pay attention and water all of these different things, knowing that if you try and do all of them at the same time, you're likely to fail. So you have to go through these seasons. You got to go through these waves of life and flow with it. That's the key. It's flow. So I just want to talk through these quickly. I'm not going to go into great detail because I don't want to record for like a half an hour today. I want to keep this a little tighter. But I will pull it up on the screen here. I've got it on my phone. So this is the 12 pillars of life. And I've got this on our website here on extremelyconscious.com. And the first pillar is relationship growth. So the way that I describe it on the site here, and this is specifically speaking to men, because this is who we are focused on being of service to, but also calling into a collective, a group, an inner circle to surround ourselves with, to go and grow together. So hence, you'll notice the language that's speaking mostly to men on this, but these things still apply to women and anybody else. So you get to create growth in your relationships that empower you to truly show up present, connected, and the embodiment of love in your romantic relationship with your family and kids and within your circle of influence. And those three different pillars underneath that quadrant, I think I would refer to it as a quadrant. I'm still, like I say, defining some of the naming conventions on this, but underneath relationships is partner, your partner relationship, right? Whether that's husband, wife, common law, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Family, and under family, I would bucket in there kids, of course, but even immediate family, right? Parents, brothers, sisters, even go as far out as cousins. It really depends on how close you are to them and how close you want to be to them. And then the last one being influence circle is the best way for me to describe that. So that is, who do we choose to spend our time with, and who do we spend, and who do we choose to allow into our space? Like, who do we consume information from? Who are we sharing information with and our time? Going back to the Zoom conversations, right? I used to just give my time up to anybody at the sacrifice of my own schedule, my own routines, my own family, like my business, everything. I would just give up my time. I don't do that anymore. So within each one of those, there are questions that a person can answer to essentially find out your score of how well are you doing in that pillar? And is there room for improvement? And there always is. It's just, how much is there? The second area is physical growth. So here, I should show these on the screen. So this is the first one. So the first one is partner, or relationship growth rather, right? Partner, family, influence circle. Then there's physical growth. So that's this guy right here. And this is, you get to create growth in your physical body that empowers you to turn your good intentions to take care of yourself into focused, committed action towards being your greatest self in mind, body, and spirit. And these three major pillars within that quadrant is health / self-care. And I say slash because I have it defined as health on here, but that's what I'm referring to, is health / self-care. So there's a lot of things that can go in that bucket. It could be as simple as brushing your teeth. Do you do this? How often? Are you flossing? Like, that simple. But then it can go as far as, you know, what are you doing to truly take care of yourself? You know, like, are you stretching? Are you breathing? Are you going to chiropractor and massage? There's a lot of things that make up self-care. And then nutrition is the other pillar. So what are you putting in your body? Is it fueling you or is it killing you? And then fitness, right? Fitness / exercise. So how are you pushing the boundaries of your physical body so that your joints, your muscles, your bones, and your mind, of course, are strong, not just now, but into the future too, knowing that the deposits that we make right now have a compounding effect over time. And that allows us to live our greatest life, not only now, but in the future as well. So that's the second one, second quadrant. The third one is spiritual growth. And with that one, you get to create growth in your spiritual ascension that empowers you to slow down, discover your true authentic self, and acknowledge the reality that when you follow your heart and trust your intuition, you are powerful beyond measure. And the three pillars underneath that are connection, reflection, and expansion. And other ways to describe that would be connection. So connection to self. Do you meditate? Do you sit and just become witness to your thoughts and not judge yourself and not feel like you're doing it wrong. Like, this is what I did when I started this a year ago. I long told myself, I'm not very good at this. I'm probably doing it wrong. And then I recognized that meditation is not about sitting in silence and crossing your legs and, you know, holding your fingers together and levitating around the room. That's not it. It's about just being able to be witness to yourself in a moment of calm where you can recognize which parts of you are operating from a low vibe and a high vibe state, or any state in between. And there's many, many other layers to it, of course. And of course, I'm still a student on this. I'm still, you know, diving into different modalities on this. I'm still consuming different information, but I know it's non-negotiable now in my schedule. I do it first thing in the morning, and it's incredibly helpful. Reflection, same thing. So when I say reflection, I mean like journaling. You know, one of the things that I do every day is something called morning pages now, in addition to other prompt questions that I answer and gratitude journaling and a number of other things. But, you know, the morning pages have been incredibly helpful because I'll just sit down and the whole idea is you sit and you just write for 3 full pages. It doesn't even matter if it's just gibberish. Even if you just write on there, I don't know what to write. I can't believe I'm doing this. This is stupid. What's the point of this? Because eventually you're going to start to see that you'll find clarity as you are communicating with yourself, as you're having a conversation with yourself. And now I love that modality because ultimately that's the whole point of it, is most of what you will flow out of yourself in 3 pages, if you're just starting with journaling, is gibberish and negativity and limiting thoughts and beliefs and all of the things that you wake up with where you're thinking about all the things that could go wrong or all the things that didn't go right or whatever the case might be. But that's the point. Get it out. Get it out on paper. You cannot let creativity flow until you get rid of that stuff. And that's not to say it disappears. You'll wake up every day and you'll still face it. But it's a practice. It's a tool that we have. And it's amazingly powerful. If you are creative, which I believe we all are, you'll know what it's like to have writer's block. And when you have writer's block, where you sit down and you're like, I know I need to write this thing, but the best thing you can do is just sit down and start writing. You know, we had somebody join one of our Better Man Gathering calls recently, and I've known this guy for a long time, and he's from another country, actually. So he moved into Canada and he took on a job in sales, which was brand new to him, but he's a quick learner. He's smart. He's eager. He does whatever it takes, and he excelled in his role. And he's in a somewhat different role now, more in like a project management role. But I remember him saying out loud that, you know, deep down, ultimately, I want to be a playwright. You know, I've already got some stuff written with different characters and scenarios and whatnot. And that's what I want to do. And I was thinking to myself like, whoa, that's amazing. Like, I had no idea that that was actually something that he desired to do. And then I actually shared with him this idea of morning pages. I was like, dude, you want to be a writer? Write. Start writing every single day. Don't stop. And whoever tells you you shouldn't do it, cut them out of your life. Stop talking to them. And in some cases, it might be like, wow, I can't cut my mom out or my dad out or my brother out or whatever. That's what stops most people from actually following their passions and their dreams and their true calling, is that they're trying to make somebody else happy or they're trying to appease somebody else instead of just following their gifts. You want to be a writer? You want to be a playwright? You want to be a songwriter? You want to be a musician? Write, play music, do these things. And then the third pillar is expansion. And expansion is the consumption of higher wisdom, which again can take many, many shapes. It may be a motivational video, right? People get addicted to those because all they do is listen to motivational videos and think, wow, I got to go do that. And then they don't do anything about it. So there's a fine line here. And again, this is where the overlap comes in all of these things, is like, how do you go and create the body that you've always wanted, where you're in incredible shape and people turn their heads when you walk down the street? Well, you don't do it watching motivational videos about getting physically fit. You go to the gym, you eat better, you get your mind right, all of these things. But if you don't have things that you're feeding into your brain that are actually pushing you in the right direction, and people around you that are also thinking and operating in the same way and consuming information that's allowing them to ascend in this enlightenment ladder, it's going to be pretty damn tough. There's a lot of information out there that most people just don't even want to look at because they don't understand it, or they think, what's the point? I'll consume my information from the news. And we know what that does in society when you just focus on what the news is saying, or what your cousin said, or what your brother said, or what your dad said, or whatever. So consuming higher wisdom is a pillar. It's something we get to do. I get to do every single day. And then the last one, the last quadrant here is business growth. Business slash career. I'm trying to keep this as least wordy as possible. You can see that this is evolving. And at some point, I'm going to look back on this as I've evolved this and I've turned it into, a life assessment form that spits out a report that creates a beautiful graph that leads to a document that you can then print out and journal in and create all of these, different prompts that move you in the direction that you want to go. Like, that's all gonna happen. I'm already creating it. And it's gonna evolve into a book, and it's gonna evolve into a documentary, and it's gonna evolve into, the foundation of how we operate our retreats and how we give back to the world and how we attract new people into this space that want to operate and live in the same way. But right now, this is what it is. So the business growth. So there's three pillars here too, but let me read this out. You get to create growth in your business that empowers you to take daily imperfect action that inspires and influences others to create infinite possibilities and abundance financially and mentally for yourself and everyone you show up in service to. Now, the three pillars are alignment, community, and abundance. Alignment refers to, simply put, doing what you love every single day. And that's not to say that there isn't going to be things that you do in your business that aren't amazing, because you will. You're going to have to lean into things that suck or that you're not that good at, and you're going to have to get better at, or you're going to have to learn to get out of the way and find somebody else to do it for you, or pay them to do it for you, or find a partner, or give up equity in a company to be able to bring in somebody that has the talents and the skills and the drive and the passion that you do that can help you see through a vision. Are you operating in alignment? Not only with the business you run, the products and services you sell, but the people you choose to surround yourself with, the culture you create in that business, all of that. There's way too much focus on just the finances, and we know this, right? You see this all the time in the corporate world where look at the pharmaceutical industry, right? It's focused on making money for shareholders. Who pays the price of that? The consumer. And again, this video is not to go down that path, but we know there's a better way. And there's companies out there and individuals that are operating this way that have proven it. You can operate from a place of true alignment and bring all of those things into your world if you operate that way. If you are that person, you become that person, you will create all of that in your environments as well. The second one, community. So the community side of things is, how do you elevate others around you by creating a business and/or even just being in a job? How do you build community? How you elevate other people around you? This is how we create change. It's another reason why the inner circle exists, the Extremely Conscious Man inner circle. I know that if I put my head down and I go and grind, I can make the money I want. I can move to the place I want to live. I can buy the things that I want. Like, a lot of it is money driven, right? But I know for a fact that if I become too obsessed in one particular area and I lose sight of what's actually important to me, that everything around me starts crumbling. My relationship, my connection to my family, my lack of presence, my physical health, all of these different things. So I need to surround myself with people that are operating in the same way. And that's where creating a level of a standard level of, a baseline, I guess you would say. It's like, this is my expectations now. Well, detaching from expectation, there is still a level now where I know that I don't make excuses. If I screw something up or I choose not to do something, I take ownership for it, I take responsibility for it, and then I make choices that are more aligned, that move me in the direction that I want to go. And those are the only people that I want to spend time with. People that make excuses and find all the reasons why they can't do something. There's way too many people like that in this world. I choose to spend my time with people that don't make excuses. And in doing so, I bring my gifts to the table to elevate those people. I spoke about this yesterday on my live, where I have 20 years experience in marketing and sales and helping transform and elevate people. I amplify their impact. And I made a choice in the last 3 months to cut down the amount of quote unquote clients that I work with, because they're not even really clients. There's partnerships here, there's revenue share, there's equity, there's all types of opportunities. Like, strategic alliances is a better way to even describe it. But it's now freeing up my time and my energy to be able to serve the guys that are going to be in the inner circle. And that excites the shit out of me. That's my community. Like, I'm literally building my own community and inviting people in and saying, let me share my gifts with you, and please share yours with me. I desire it. And I got no time for excuses. And then abundance. So the word abundance, this is actually what I'm leaning into in the month of January here. So I'm in a program myself right now that's guided and led by Danielle Grant, and it's called the Reclaim Incubator. So it's been an evolution over time. There was a I keep forgetting if it was 3 months or 6 months, the first round of this, but now we're in a 6 month container where we're focusing on these different areas, these different heights of elevated states. And love was the focus of December, and now January is abundance. And abundance to me is, we think about it from a monetary standpoint. It's like, I want to be abundant, which means I want to be rich. I want to be rich. I want to have the house and the car and the trips and all of that stuff. And yeah, that's all amazing. Like, who doesn't want all that stuff? But I also get to feel abundant regardless of the money that I make. And I also get to feel abundance knowing that if I go through seasons where I'm not making as much physical fiat money, but I know that at any time I can turn it on and create money because it's all just an energy game. That's abundance to me. And then again, this is where all these things overlap, because is abundance just about money? Or is abundance a feeling? Is abundance about self-love? Is abundance about having friendships? One of the best examples of this is people talk about legacy and, will you be remembered when you die? And people come to celebrate your life. That's abundance. When people care that you're actually gone and they want to remember you for who you were and how you showed up. Because you were a good friend, because you were attentive when people talked to you, because you listened when people needed you to listen, and you gave feedback when people needed some feedback. That's abundance. That's how I want to be remembered. And I know that that comes back to micro moments, micro actions. It's ways of being again. And I throw it into the business bucket though, business slash career, all three of those, alignment, community, and abundance. Because when you can combine all of those things, now you can create real, true impact and change and influence in this world. And I spoke about this the other day, but I'll mention it again. A buddy of mine from back in Saskatoon, who I've known since the early 2000s, Jeremy Lang is his name. He started a company called Pilacase. It was actually Open Mind Developments was his company, but the product was Pilacase. And Sharmila and I, at the time, not operating as single because we were just dating, but we helped him build a website, come up with a logo, build an explainer video talking about how this product was going to replace or eliminate having to create plastic, which obviously is a big, lofty, big, hairy, crazy, audacious goal. But why not? And then they go on, Jeremy over time slowly builds the company, writing handwritten notes with his wife on their kitchen table, canceling family vacations for 7 years. And then Jeremy, I remember he talked about this on my podcast, being down to his last $10,000 and choosing to invest in a mastermind. It was a weekend. And in fact, that same mastermind is happening here, not too far from where we live right now, up in Papagayo, I believe is what it's called. It's called Mastermind Talks. The latest one is in Costa Rica. But Jeremy went to that and he talked about on the podcast how it was terrifying. And the first day that he was there, he went back to his hotel room at night and he called his wife and he was in tears thinking like, what am I doing here? I'm in the wrong room. Like I shouldn't be here. And his wife reminded him, no, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Be yourself, lean in, have conversations with people. Everybody's there for the same reason. They want to connect. They want to expand. They want to grow. They want to find opportunities to be able to support and serve each other. And that's exactly what happened. He ended up bumping into a guy who ended up being his CEO. And then that guy's buddy came in and became the CTO, I want to say. He became basically they described it as Jeremy is the heart. Matthew, the CEO, was the brains. And the other guy, I think he was more on operation side of things, was the muscle. So they found their three-pronged approach. And now they've since gone on to be a company that has hundreds of employees, I think over 300 employees. They're going to be doing close to $100 million in revenue this year, if they haven't already. They've invented a product called the Lomi, which is a countertop, kitchen countertop food composter. You throw your banana peels and that type of thing in, and it creates black dirt that you can just put into your plants. Sorry, I was just looking at this. It says key frame rate too low. I don't know what that means, but anyways, I'm gonna figure out some different streaming platforms on this in the future. My point is why not think big? That's why I put right on our website for single, for my wife and I and the team that we built around us, your big crazy dreams are not crazy. In fact, we only work with people that believe in unlimited possibilities and are ready to lean in and create real impactful change in this world. And I know that the people that I'm going to choose to surround myself with and spend my time with in the inner circle, I'm going to demand that they get up to big things. Because if they're not, they're robbing the world of that passion, that dream, that gift that they have inside. And now that might actually be intimidating for some of these guys thinking like, whoa, I'm just trying to like live a gra I just want to follow in your footsteps and move to Costa Rica because you look like you're living the dream. And I'm going to say, cool, you should aspire to that, but think bigger. What are you doing to actually show up every single day and be an example for my boys, for example? I can't be the only one being the example of what it means to be a man for my boys. They're going to be, even if I drag them out into the jungle and try and take them off the grid, at some point they're going to see a cell phone and say, I want one of those. In fact, they're already getting to that point. And they're going to be on social media or whatever it is in the future. And they're going to have hologram friends and whatever God knows what else is going to appear when these kids are teenagers. But I want them understanding that an extremely conscious man is somebody that takes responsibility, takes ownership, shows up every single day, even when they don't want to. They're well connected, they're confident, they're healthy, they're loving, they're romantic, they're playful, they're present. In case you didn't know, I'm reading that right off of our website as well. They're vulnerable. They realize that it makes them stronger. They're honest. They're influential. They're impactful. They're aligned. They're mindful. They're intentional. And they are wealthy in more ways than what society typically defines as wealthy. Because I've just outlined 12 pillars of wealth here. There's many, many, many more. But these 12 feel really good to me to lean into. And I know that there are action steps, micro action steps that I can take to be a little bit better in each one of those areas every single day. And when I surround myself with good people that are up to big things and that are being called up to play a bigger game, to stop playing small, to go be the person that they know that they can be, or maybe that they don't even see in themselves, but other people do. That excites the shit out of me. And there's nothing else that I want to do, which is why I'm committed to this, and which is why I'm going to go do this, regardless of who comes on this journey with me. But I do know one thing for sure. I got a buddy by the name of Mike Prince who is all in on this, just like me. And that's what we say to each other all the time. Before we did our first retreat back in June, we went on our own bro weekend, just the two of us. We hiked a mountain, we had good conversations, we recorded them. We went to a beautiful lakefront resort in Summerland. We brought the e-foils, we went and had an amazing dinner. We had a couple of drinks and a cigar out on the deck. We foiled the next day, and we found the inspiration for a retreat. And we said, let's do it. Neither one of us had any experience. We had no idea how to host a retreat, plan, organize, sell tickets to, execute, like all of those things. And it wasn't perfect, but it was amazing. It was exactly what it was supposed to be. And now here we are moving in this direction now. Nobody gave us, like, nobody said, here, you get to go do this now. We said that we were going to go do it, and now we're doing it. And it's no different than what we're doing right now with tracking of our micro actions on a daily basis, being honest with ourselves of where we're saying that we're going to do something, but we're not actually doing it. Like, why is that happening? Are we extending ourselves? Should we be pulling the bar down a little bit? There's no shame in pulling the bar down. A lot of times people set the bar so damn high that they're literally setting themselves up for success or for failure. I heard this the other day, actually. Look at me going for almost 40 minutes again, but I heard this the other day. Somebody was talking about the idea of, you see these advertisements and stuff online, especially around New Year's and all that kind of stuff with resolutions. It's like, you got to get off your ass. You want to create change in your life? Like, get off the couch, get into the gym, go and do this, go and do that. Most people that are in a state of just like completely letting themselves go, they can't go in the gym and go and just go hard and burn themselves. Like, it's just not gonna work. You're gonna hurt yourself, or you're just gonna demotivate yourself. But what you can do is you can go for a walk. What you can do is you can have some water instead of a beer. What you can do is stop eating the chips and the candy bars and grab an apple. That might be some people's micro actions. Eat more fruit. Okay? Get more specific. How much fruit are you going to eat each day? And that comes back again to adding good habits into your routine, not just focusing on getting rid of the bad ones. It's like, oh man, I got to stop eating sugar. I'm just going to stop completely in January. It's like, no, that's a terrible idea. Sure, that's your desired outcome, is like eliminate sugar from your diet. It's probably a good thing. It's definitely not a bad thing. But how about you start introducing healthy foods into your diet and see how it makes you feel? You're going to want to cut back on the sugary sweets and all of the things that actually deplete your energy as opposed to giving you energy. These are some of the things that I've learned that I'm taking action on, and these are the people that I'm choosing to surround myself with. They're people that also want to operate that way as well. And if they're starting from a place of like, I don't even know where to start, cool. Somebody does. Somebody in our inner circle is a few steps ahead, maybe many steps ahead, and they will be asked to contribute their expertise and their energy to support the men in our inner circle. That's what it's for. And like I say, if it's just me and Mike doing this, I'm cool with that too. If it's just me, I'll show up. I'll still do this. But I know I've got some people already surrounding me. We already have people in the inner circle, and we've got room for more. The cutoff is the end of January, though. At that point, that will be our first group in the inner circle. And we'll see. I'm not even sure when we're going to open this up again. We definitely won't do it before our next retreat, which is at the end of April. And we're also offering an opportunity to do this where it's just a no-brainer for people. We're charging $500 a month for it. And once you've spent and invested $1,500 into the inner circle, we're giving you a $1,500 credit to come to our next experience or any experience over the next 2 years. So anybody that's thinking like, man, I want to be in that inner circle. Why would you not be involved in this? You get not only access to the circle, but you have a massive motivator to go, and I'm going to go to one of these experiences. I don't know which one, like maybe Costa Rica is not in the cards for some people, just too complicated. Maybe you can't get the flights, whatever. We're doing ones in Canada in the fall. We're going to likely do some in the States here within the next year as well. Like Mike and I have been talking about like San Diego or Phoenix or Miami or something like that as well. So that is what I want to talk about. And I did not plan on going for 42 minutes, but here I am again. And these are turning into pillar conversations that I'm going to end up using this content on multiple platforms. And likely even putting it up on our website because I'm speaking from the heart. This is why I've created this. It's not a program, it's not a course, it's not how can I make money and get you to spend money on me. It's I'm calling in people that I want to spend time with. And where people invest their time and their energy and their money, they actually commit to. And that's why there is a price tag on this. It's not a significant price tag. The cost of not doing this is much greater than the cost of investing in this and being in the circle. Because we're up to big shit here. And we're creating real impact for ourselves, for our families, and everybody that we come in contact with. And it's taking many, many, many shapes. And I cannot wait to see how all this is going to roll out and what we'll all co-create together. Okay, that's it. I got to go put some kids to bed. Thank you for listening and watching. If any of this resonated, reach out to me. Let me know what was the part that I said that connected, where you thought, geez, that landed. Reach out. I'm here. Thanks for watching and listening.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Trevor Turnbull Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please consider subscribing on my YouTube channel as well as on your favorite podcast platform. So until next time, remember, today is a beautiful day of opportunity. Trust that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. So be grateful, be curious, and be brave.